Hello and welcome to the Screen Chronicles. I'm Colby, and with me as always is Steve, father of Ubba, Kuzich. And the reason I say that is because we have a new member of the Screen Chronicles family, and this is our first episode casting since he has arrived. Say hello to Ubba.
This is Ubba.
Ubba. So cute. That is too cute. I can't believe he just waved.
I know. Isn't he's very intelligent. He's very intelligent. He understands. Human. Obviously, he's named for
beautiful
Ragnar Lothbrok, as he was portrayed by Runa Tempe, though, in The Last Kingdom.
Ubba Lothbrok.
Ubba Lothbrok. Ubba Lothbrok Kuzich is his full name. And then, obviously, I mean, it's the same historical figure as the one in Vikings. And I like the one in Vikings, too. But I like the one in TLK much, much, much more. Much more.
Oh, yes.
And that's who he's
Runa Tempe is responsible for making him awesome like that.
Exactly.
Yes, but today we're not talking about The Last Kingdom. We are talking about the final two episodes and the whole first season of The Winter King, another work by Bernard Cornwell, of course. And this was the first TV adaptation of his Warlord Chronicle book series trilogy, which, if you've listened to any of our episodes, you'll know that Steve and I absolutely love the books. We think they're fantastic. We recommend that you read them. And so today we're just going to talk about what we thought of that first season that has ended, which we're a little bit late on now. Life got a little bit busy for the both of us. So
Holidays,
we did like the first eight episodes.
New dog.
Car accident. Steve was in a car accident. He's okay, yeah. Right? Steve, you're okay?
I'm fine. I'm great. Look at this. Oh,
nice.
Chill.
No. Shit. He's fine. He's fine.
Like you said, we're going to start off here. Spoiler-free review of the whole season, and then we'll get into our spoiler talk recap for episodes 9 and 10 of season 1 of The Winter King. If you want to check out our thoughts on previous episodes, we have all those out. Check out our channel, podcast, all that stuff. Subscribe and like for the first season of The Winter King. And as of now, without spoilers, it seems, you know, we know there's more books. They didn't even finish the whole plot line from the first book. So it seems to me they're setting up for a second season. A second season hasn't been confirmed as of today, February 18th, 2024.
Well, I think it's somewhat dependent on how the first season does sometimes, you know?
Yeah, but it did finish back in November, so it has been a while.
It's been a while, and I think I'm sort of at that, like, I don't know if it was good enough to get them a second season.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm gonna say right now, overall, I enjoyed watching it. I thought it was decent. I wouldn't say it was great, but I thought I enjoyed watching it. I liked it. I don't know if I'd go to the extent that I loved it. Like, I loved the books. And for that reason that, like, I think once you come into watching the show after knowing what happens in the books and some of the epic things that happen in the books, and when some of the most epic moments from the books, the things that, like, you remember after reading, don't happen in the show, it sets you up for a little bit of disappointment, naturally, you know. And I try to put myself in the shoes of someone who's never read the books, and when I do that, I sometimes question if I would want a second season based on how this one finished. Do you know what I mean? Like, I question, like, I want a second season because I know what happens in the second and third books, which is, it's awesome, you know? But if I'm someone who didn't watch it, and it's hard for me to think like this because I read the books, but if I'm someone who didn't read the books, I wonder where my mind would be at the end of the season, if I would be like, oh yeah, I want more, or if I'd just kind of be like, meh. Do you know what I mean?
I'd say, you know, the season had a lot of good things, and but, you know, MGM Plus is, like, if you check out the streaming service, which I think a lot of people don't, I don't know the numbers.
I don't know many people who have it.
There's like barely anything on that thing, and, you know, this could be, you know, the start of this service, though, and it could pick up more, you know. Yeah. Right now, there's not a lot on it. And this season, I thought was generally underwhelming. I love the books.
Yeah.
And there was things I liked about this. But to me, like, they never got to, like, any awesome part other than, you know, without giving into spoilers, kind of the end of this last episode, episode 10. That was one awesome moment from the book, though. But it's still, there was still way more awesome moments that happened. And
that I think
would have left a bigger, more thematic ending for the season than what they did.
Yeah.
And I'd say the ending was kind of underwhelming. So the whole season just kind of, it didn't feel like it built to anything, you know, if you look at like a show like The Last Kingdom, there's a lot of awesome things in that show. Obviously, we love that show. It's amazing. But the thing is, and they also do miss a lot of awesome things that are in the books and even the movie.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of people saw that movie who had never read a book, never even seen the show, and still enjoyed it for what it was. Because it had, you know, story with a beginning, an end that was awesome and had built up to awesome things. And this one, it felt like the show was building and then just kind of had an episode and ended, you know? And I was, you know, this might be kind of spoiler out, but it doesn't give you any big plot points other than I was expecting a big battle at the end of the season.
Right.
Did not happen.
Right.
That is not how it happened. If you were to compare it to any other show that it's like analogous to, like The Last Kingdom, like you could get a better version of this show by watching The Last Kingdom. So if like I want to watch a show where there's the drama, there's intrigue, there's cool characters, and it's also that's all well done, and it's going to end with a huge battle every season and halfway through the season, you know, this show didn't check those boxes. Like if I was someone who wasn't familiar with books and what to expect going forward, I would see the show and be like, I've seen a better version of this already done like 100 times.
Right. You know? And are those people going to come back for a season two is my question, because there wasn't anything at the end that really made you feel like, oh, I can't wait. You know, sometimes these shows end, it's like, how am I going to wait a couple of years before it starts again? You know, it never didn't feel like that. Now, there's no question they were limited on budget. There's no question. Limited their ability. They're probably limited their ability.
Five dudes walk up there supposed to be on horses and like, this is our army. They're like,
right.
Five dudes?
Yeah. Obviously, probably limited them from being able to do a battle of some kind, have a nice shield wall, which they do have in the books. So, okay, fair enough. But was The Last Kingdom also not on a tight budget in the first couple seasons? And they found a way. I think they could have done better a little bit with what they had there. There's some tricks they maybe could have pulled. Regardless, that there are definitely some negative things from this season, but there are some positive things too. Because again, I liked it. I do want more. And one thing I really liked is I thought the actors did a pretty darn good job. I thought most of the actors were really good. And I know Stuart Campbell, who plays Derville, got a lot of criticism from what I've read. I thought he was good. I thought
I liked him.
He showed a lot of great growth from the beginning when he was sort of this naive young man. And by the end of it, I do feel like he's grown a lot throughout the season. You know, I thought he did a good job. I thought the guy who played Arthur killed it. Guinevere was very good. Nimue was pretty good too. I thought everybody did a nice job.
I think the writing was good in the sense that it didn't feel like people were, at least in my recent memory here, I don't feel like there was any moments like, this is really stupid why they're doing this, or like, and obviously they have an amazing book that's very intelligently written to go off, but there was a lot of changes they made. Oh, there was like the thing, but again, there's only one character. But anyway, though, most of the writing was smart. The characters were well acted. A lot of them felt like they understood the point of that character from that book to me. And some things, like, they even enriched, you know, I guess this would be kind of a spoiler-ish from some previous episodes, but like Dervil's backstory with the Death Pit, I liked how they intertwined that with Arthur.
Yeah, yeah.
And I liked how
that was cool.
The person that they made responsible for that act is still like an ongoing character in the show. So it's still like that part of Dervil's life is still like a motivation in the show going forward, still driving the plot, still like makes it relevant. Cause like in the books, I don't feel like it was. It just like it happened.
Right.
He met the guy who did it. It was just some like random priest who said some random thing to him, and then it's never relevant again. And so I liked that like moment from his past is relevant with his relationship with Arthur, with his relationship with an enemy. I think that part was really cool and even better than the book.
True.
So true. Yeah, and again, I liked Arthur acted in this.
I liked the look too.
Me too.
I thought the look was pretty good. Like, the sets.
They sometimes blur the landscape and some people didn't like that. I thought it was different and it still felt like natural, you know, which I liked about
TLK. Actually liked Dumnonia, how it was like a cave sort of kingdom. Like, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it at first, but then it grew on me.
And I'm okay with, you know, this isn't really a spoiler yet. We'll talk more about it in a second. We do go to the Isle of the Dead, you know, and I was okay with how they did it. It's different than I pictured it, but I was okay with it.
Better, but I liked that they did it, and I felt like they got a pretty. I felt like they didn't Hollywood it up too much, you know. They kind of did, and to me it felt like they could have gone way cooler with it, you know. But I thought it was decent, you know.
I did generally feel like that whole Isle of the Dead sequence was kind of dumbed down compared to the books. We got like a brief version of it where I would have was a little bit more epic, fair enough, in the books, you know, but still glad they went to it. I was kind of questioning, like, how are they gonna do the Isle of the Dead? I'm so curious what that's gonna look like. The whole time I was like,
do it.
Yeah.
And then so I'm glad they did it. One of the things that like got us sucked into TLK and like especially like the early season of Outlander was just like a different culture where it makes you feel it is like a fantasy world, but it's not. It's just a different time period and location in human history that just like they have all these beliefs and things that are just so different than ours that it feels so alien. But it happened, you know, and that's one of the things that got me sucked into TLK and, you know, Outlander with the Scottish stuff. And I think with this, with the Britain things, I think they generally did pretty cool showing that they have their old sort of pagan ways. And it's also like clashing with this new Christianity.
So it's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
I want that second season. I just want them to focus the action, consistent magic, get some battles, get some big moments from the show, explain those things. And I think you have a good fucking show on your hands. So yeah, I want a season two because I feel like there's a lot of the heart they got.
Yeah.
But you just need to get the
rest. There's a lot of good. There is a lot of good. There's a lot of good in there. Just need to do a little bit more. Need a little bit more. So anyway,
let's get a score. Score, Colby.
Okay.
What score? What number are you giving this show? I'll give you mine.
I'm like between. Okay, give me yours because I'm between.
Mine's a 6.9.
It's time for something new.
Yeah, I was gonna go 6.75 to be honest.
It's easy to divide a country. The hard task is putting it back together.
It's because like I just don't think it's good enough to get the 7. I don't think it's as bad as a 6. Mm-hmm.
I
even feel harsh giving it a 6.5, so I'm just gonna between 6.5, 6.75.
I was thinking in terms of like if I had to give it a letter grade, I'd give it a C. I wouldn't give it a D.
Yeah.
I'd give it a C.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, so, what can I give it that's a C? So a 69%, is like a C minus. I think you can make that a C minus.
It is.
So
I thought that was a D plus.
Depends
wait,
on
A.
Depends on you.
A is 90 and above. 80 and above is B. C is 70 and above.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like 69 is sometimes like maybe it's like a 69.69. Like your
that's fair though. C would be a good
your teacher might be like, this is a C minus, you know, if they want to like not fuck up your GPA, you know?
Hmm.
They could I think they have the power to do that. And that's what my power is today. I'm giving it a 6.9.
Okay.
Also, too, you may have noticed that 6.9 is the 69, which is of course a circular oral pleasure sex position. And
Jesus Christ. I'm sticking with 6.75.
anyway, though, that's our thoughts.
You know, fair enough.
On
a lot of room season. To grow. A lot of it room does. To grow for the show.
Just like
a lot of room to grow. So let's jump in and talk a little bit about episode 9 here.
Yeah, spoiler
I thought
alert
episode
now.
9, spoiler alert. Episode 9 was definitely not the best episode of the season. I think somewhat of a filler episode before the finale.
Yeah.
But it does deal with a lot of what does happen in the book where Arthur sort of loses his way. You know, in the show to that point, Arthur for Dumnonia is like right on it. He's just like, you know, he's making good decisions. He's making firm decisions. And once he gets with Guinevere, she distracts him from what's really important in the books, right? And you start to see a lot of like things in the kingdom start to not go so well because he's distracted.
Yeah, and just right? The fact too that he made the choice to be with her just sets back alliances, and these alliances were both, and you know, everything he was doing up to this point, you know, before he was with Guinevere on his own, and when he was coming back and acting as a leader for Dumnonia, was all to be against the Saxons. And now going with Gwen was his first move against that, and it was like the one of the biggest things he could do, because now he made it an enemy with Gorfefid. And at the end of episode 8, we see Gorfefid killed Bishop Edwin, and to send a message to Arthur like, hey, like, we are not friends anymore since you denied marriage to Kynwynn in our alliance. Like, you and me are done, and we're gonna go to war. And Kynwynn then goes to Durfal and Morgan, who saw all this happen, and she goes, not only that crazy crap has happened, but now he's promised me to wed a Saxon. So they are now going to align themselves with the Saxons, the very people that he was going against. So now the enemy has just gotten stronger because of this. So,
right.
Yeah, that's Arthur's big no-no that's happened here.
Oops.
Yes.
Right.
You know, one of the things that was cool, I mean, it was annoying, but it was cool. And again, this is one of the things that's like really just specific to the show, is like Gunglius is like howling. And when they were like, after they'd killed Bedwin and they're kicking out Morgan and Durfal, he's like howling like that wolf again and just getting under Durfal's skin, which to me, I like that this rivalry in the show exists. Like, this was not a thing in the books.
Yeah.
And I love this, you know. Durfal has like this enemy now, and this guy's just like, howling. I thought this was pretty cool. I mean, I hate him and I want him dead, but it was pretty cool.
But he does a great job. Simon Merrill's, he's killing this role. Definitely, like, you feel like he's unstable, a little unhinged, very capable, dangerous, you know. So it's cool. I like his character. So Durval and Morgan are supposed to head back after that to tell Arthur what's going on, and tell him that like Powys is no longer They're no longer friendly. I don't know why he think they would be at any point after he betrayed them. But yeah, I think, you know, Arthur is definitely got a lot of consequences to his decisions. He, I think in the books, when he's sort of distracted by Guinevere, he's like madly in love with her. I think time, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't time go by?
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, a significant amount of time goes by. That's one thing the show does not do well, is it does not show time passing well. Like, I don't understand how much time is supposed to pass between some points. You know what I mean? Like, how long does it take to get from Powys back to Dononia? You know, is it weeks? Is it, you know, days? Like, also, like, later on, like, when Nimue is at the Isle of the Dead. How long? I don't really get how long she's been there.
Yeah, because it feels
she's been there a week. She's been there.
Durfel left, and then he came back. Is what it feels like. This all happened like in a couple days.
It's something other shows do it better for some reason. I don't know why. I'm trying to think of why. That I just couldn't really get a grasp on the amount of time that's going by in this one. Do you? I mean,
no. Yeah, I wasn't familiar with the books, like, that's how it would feel to me. I'd be like, oh, she got sent to the Island of the Dead, and like, oh, she's crazy after what, like 2 days there? Like, why is she crazy? Like, is it magic stuff happening there? You know, like, oh, no, you mean she's been isolated for like months, you know, and only surrounded by cannibals? Like, oh, okay, now I understand why she's crazy.
Like, half starved, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But anyway, though, Durfel doesn't know she was banished to the Island of the Dead. He gets home with Morgan, and he wants to go see Nimue. And, like, everyone's being kind of vague with what happened to Nimue, because she's not there. And, like, well, you know, she poisoned the Christians at Avalon, so I had to banish her, Arthur eventually tells Durfel. And he's like, oh, that's...
This
sucks.
Is when Durfel, like, turns into Sherlock Holmes.
He's like, yeah, wait, do you believe that she poisoned them? And he's like, I believe she cursed them. And she's like, but did she do... And, like, they have this argument. And this is, like the first time I'm like, this doesn't feel like Arthur. He's, like, kind of being a dick to Durfel here. And we eventually find out it's because of, like, trust issues from his dad and all that stuff. But anyway, though, Durfel starts being detective here. And he goes
I feel like Arthur basically went through therapy this episode.
this was
unpack some demons, like, you know. But Durfel turns into a detective here, goes
which, like,
and investigates.
Wasn't from the books either, like, that Arthur like was upset with his father or anything. Like, I never had that. So I mean, I'm not there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, it is different. So I wasn't thinking of that moment from the first episode.
Yeah, but there is a reflection from the books that there was a period of time where Arthur was not in his right mind, let's say, you know, for different reasons, you know, and this they add in some mental issues because of his past, because of his dad. But really, I think in the books, he's just so distracted by Guinevere. Like,
yeah, and he's just letting her do whatever. And then in the books, in the show, she's really not so superficial. She's pretty much like just a good person. But in the books, she's like really superficial and really like trying to make Arthur to seem like a king, even though he doesn't like it. But he's like, all right, well, and I'll let her call the guy, tell her the guys what to do and do
exactly.
This stuff. And so he lets
in the show, she's a very strong female presence. She's like very smart, very capable.
Yeah, she's good. She's a good
very
person.
Different than good. She seems like a good person. She does not seem like she's going to sacrifice anybody to a moon god at any point. Oh, shit. That's a spoiler.
Maybe.
I should probably cut that. Huh?
No.
But anyway, but that's a theme, is that they don't really dive into the ISIS theme with her. Right, she that's who she
maybe they thought that'd be too confusing for another
exactly, it's the same reason maybe they do have her like in the moonlight, which maybe is a sign that she worships some god per se, you know, but they don't dive into it any more than that. Pretty critical to the plot line of the book, pretty critical for later on.
Yes.
So we'll see if they dive more into it later. Regardless, Arthur's in a funk. Let's just say that Arthur's in a funk this episode. And Derville goes, he's investigating the water source where these builders and these priests were drinking from while building this church, right?
Yeah, because he's talking with them and they all say, yeah. Hey, we all drink from this well, and some of us got sick and got better, and some of us died. And he's like, wait a minute. Let's look at that.
None of the priests had the idea.
Nope.
So yeah, and they find a dead animal, and then they bring the dead animal and throw it on the floor.
Can
to
you
prove
imagine
to
that was probably a long walk, because they never really show horses in this. So that was a long walk just smelling a dead sheep, you know.
Yeah, don't forget everything smells like shit back then, though.
Everything. You know? Yeah, that's a good point.
They used to do they. Do you know how
Wait,
they insulated
dead
castles?
Sheep on you, Durfle.
Do you know how they? Do you know how they insulated castles back then, dude? Used to take like the intestines of animals and put them over the window holes, dude.
Ugh.
Shit smelled bad back then, man.
Oh,
Shit
yeah.
smelled bad.
Everything was
Like,
nasty.
I can't imagine. They just were pooping out windows, just pooping down walls.
That's right.
Dude, just a gross,
Remember Edinburgh?
gross.
Like
Yeah.
how you have to like
They're
call up.
throwing their poop out the window. Oh, yeah. What do they say? Mind your head? Was it mind you?
Yeah, was it mind your head or something like that? When they're dumping out their poop, and
no, I yelled
if
something
they were on
back
the
though.
ground,
No,
they
hold
yelled.
your hand.
That's it.
Hold your hand. That's what they said. Garde-leu. Garde is like the French word, but they pronounced it wrong.
Garlo.
And they threw it out the window. Garde-leu or something.
Garde-leu.
Hold your hand. Oh yeah, it was a gross time, dude.
Nasty,
So
but then Arthur, so yeah, when he brings it back,
probably smelled good to them.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It's just like Guinevere's like, oh, Durfle, do you have some, are you wearing something different today?
Oh, that's a
dead
different
sheep.
Slightly different stench
Instead of pig
than
ass.
yesterday. Oh god. So yeah, so science perseveres here. Science. And now you have somebody who is falsely imprisoned in the Isle of the Dead. You know? So
That's
we
right,
need
too.
exoneration. We need exoneration.
Oh yeah, and then the whole thing too, like they were being really vague with him too about like, oh, she's just banished. And then when he's investigating, like looking for, like he finds her things and he's like, no way would she leave this stuff. This is like her favorite magic shit. And they were like, well, it was actually the Isle of the Dead. And the Isle of the Dead is in the books anyways, is a peninsula where they send the mad, or like the end of political enemies, I guess. And it's really just like an aisle. There's one way on and off that has guards, but like there's no like walls or anything. It's just you're free to roam and be crazy there. And that's where they send her. And in the show they did put like a wall up, you know. So there is that, but
yeah. So
anyway, though, that's pretty
we're gonna
sketchy
talk about
because
it a little
she's
bit.
Not crazy. And it's like, so you just send her in with all the crazies, you know, where people don't come back, you know? And
right.
So, and like Arthur's like all getting up in his grill about this. And now like Durfle's like pointing out like, oh, like you screwed up with this. And he's still like he's just being kind of a dick to Durfle. So like, it's kind of, it's an anti.
But I get a sense from his acting that like he feels guilty, like he knows he did the wrong thing, but now he's being defensive about it.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like he knows he fucked up, but he's also not going to let Derville like tell him off. You know what I mean? And Derville's like, I'm gonna go to that Isle of Dead and help my not just my friend but the person I love. You know,
I was really
he loves
excited
him
with
way.
this. when they started talking. I was like, this was one of my favorite parts of the book. I remember like when
it was,
you read it before I did. And
yeah,
you would talk about like, oh, dude, there's this crazy part. And then I got to it and it was awesome. And the Isle of the Dead, I don't know if it was ever a real place. I don't know if there's any evidence for it, but it is referenced in like Celtic folklore. It is a place that it was like talked about. So I think Bernard Cornwell just sort of put that in, be like, oh, I'm going to make it a place in the book here. And it's just where people believed like dead souls would go. So it's like a haunted isle.
I think a lot of what Bernard Cornwell does is take things from literature, you know, and history, you know,
takes the old myths
a lot, like even the places in this show, I'm sure he's gotten from, in the books, I mean, in the show, that like the locations, I'm sure he's like gotten some of the names from old texts or something, you know, he's a historian first and foremost, and then a fiction writer, I think, you know, he's, So it's really cool. That's why I love his books now. Now, I take a lot less, you know, obviously King Arthur may never have existed. But there's a lot of theories about who he could have been. And I find that like his version is like a somewhat more plausible theory of maybe some king that was struggling for his land back in the day that was a good leader.
We have like very minimal records from that time period in general. Like most of the records are just like
nothing.
I think Alfred, which was like hundreds of years later, was like some of the more reliable texts because of all it. But like even that is still super biased because it's all from his people, you know?
Right. And I think like probably the first times Arthur is written about are adaptations of spoken word stories. Mm-hmm. Right. So like people, when Arthur was alive, let's say there was somebody who Arthur was based on, which is a possibility. Right. Or maybe it was completely made up as a story sometime.
I want to believe, who knows? Arthur is real.
I want to believe that. But let's say that there was somebody that he was based on, and who knows, it may have started as like a spoken word passed down to generations about this great leader that eventually was written down and become a myth, just like Ragnar Lothbrok. Mm-hmm. A lot of historians think he was a real person. There's a lot of accounts from monks that this guy was real, but also the stories about him are too crazy to be real. Like, you know what I mean? Like some of the stories about him are definitely myths.
Yeah. And some of them start to tie into, you know, their myths about like Thor and what stuff. And that's, I think it's kind of why the show does that too.
Yeah. And yet his sons, the ones who are they're supposed to be his sons are proven to be real people.
Yeah, because they were alive during like Alfred's time, so they're
he was writing about
and referenced, and
so it's interesting.
And you think about other historical figures too. I mean, you talk about Genghis Khan, you talk about Alexander the Great. Like those were dudes who did a lot of crazy shit, and they were real. Maybe some of it was exaggerated. Maybe some of it was downplayed because like people didn't believe it was real.
Who knows?
You're like, oh, maybe this was just a story they told. There's no way that guy could have done that, you know. So I'm gonna say Arthur existed, and that's what I'm gonna say in my head. And that's what
there's theories about him having, you know, there's theories about him having been a Roman, you know, things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. It's always fun to read King Arthur stories because they are so strong. You know, everybody likes a good King Arthur story.
Yes.
Anyway, where were we on this? We were.
Well, he did his investigation, he found out it was poisoned, and there's an anti-bro moment. Eventually Guinevere goes to Arthur and does his therapy session, and she finds out he has trust issues because of his repressed trauma from when his dad beat the shit out of him in front of like the whole all the allied kingdoms and banished him. And then she's, you know, Guinevere's telling him, oh, you know, you're not alone anymore. You have allies. It's time to start trusting people, not just yourself. And And so then he's like, yeah, we gotta get things focused here and get them together. And
So he kind of gets out of his funk.
He's a little out of his funk. And his solution is to get the Saxons together is to offer tin, because he's now with Tristan in the tin mines. So he's like, let's get people tin for weapons, which I'm just like, do you need tin for weapons? I don't know. But so they're tying that plot line back in.
But they know that he's going to want more than that, though.
Yeah.
They know he's going to want some land. He wants him to concede some land. Is it Guinevere? Is it Guinevere who's like telling him, give him this?
Well, the Saxons.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm talking
Saxons.
I was thinking the Saxons, like from TLK. Arthur is getting the Britons to ally themselves with tin. And yeah, he's also going to give tin to the Saxons. So he's trying to get his team all together. And he's trying to get the Saxons to hold off. That's his plan, is to hold off, because what he really needs to deal with now is Gorfefid, a Briton.
Yeah. He's finding himself in a bad place. Like, he's finding himself with Gorfefid and the Saxons teaming up, and they're going to just wipe out Dumnonia.
Yeah.
Yet, so he's got to think real, real hard about how he's going to get out of this one, you know?
Yes. But anyway,
that's
episode ends with Durfal deciding to go to the Isle of the Dead. And I don't know if it was this episode or the next one, but he started having pain in his hand, which is they had a little blood oath earlier in the season where they scarred their hands. And she said, like, you are mine, I'm yours, kind of thing. Which is from the books. Just it took place a different time, but oh well. And and you know, again, so, to me,
like that,
if like that could be, it could be magic. She could be signaling magic, or maybe, you know, if we think about, you know, pain sensitization sort of thing, maybe he was having a flare up.
He's worried about her
because he's worried about her.
And he's worried about her. So it's like, right.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So let's talk about best moments, best bro moments, Coldstone. What's your best bro moment from this episode?
I would say either Caenwyn coming out and warning them in the forest, even though she got done dirty by them, like she got left basically at the altar, but she still like can see. So her like going out of her way to warn them, I would go with that, I think. What about you?
I'm going to go Durfal investigating for Nimue.
Durfal not giving up on her.
Because you can tell he still likes Arthur and he wants to do what he says, but here he is taking some initiative, going out and doing stuff.
But him just going to the scariest place they can imagine.
Yes.
To try to save her, like, by himself.
Can you imagine going somewhere scary? Like if you heard about this haunted island, like, and you're just like, oh, and especially back then, though, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to go to a haunted house.
You would not go.
No way.
You wouldn't go to a haunted house. That way, like, they're not allowed to touch you.
No.
There's no way.
No way. Dude, like, if you were there, I would definitely go up to where the guards were, and I would wait, and I would send someone. But I would be there. I wouldn't go on the island for you, but I'd be there, you know?
Thanks. Oh God! So
what's
and then
best moment from the episode.
I don't really know. I think
there wasn't a lot of questions.
Overall, it wasn't the most eventful episode. I would say that him going to the Isle of the Dead at the end was the most exciting for me, because it made me so excited for the next episode.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I also like, you know, when Arthur was, after he had his talk and he's getting his shit together, he started like polishing up Excalibur and
there is that moment,
which was
that's a cool moment,
kind of cool. I still feel like like when he swings the sword, it just doesn't look like it's like he swung it at this dummy and it shattered, but it just looks like it didn't, he didn't swing it very hard, like at all. And
it's one of those fake dummies, like those fake boards that snap in half.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. And, but anyway, though,
it makes it seem like the sword itself is magic, like totally.
Yeah.
Like it breaks other swords immediately.
Sometimes.
You know? It's like, let's not forget, yes, sometimes, but let's not forget that in the books, Arthur not only has an awesome sword, but is an awesome warrior too.
Yes.
So like if Arthur broke a sword in the book, it would probably be because of his brute strength that he has. Like he's like, he's just badass.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's get into episode 10, the finale. I was like really weirded out that we were already at the finale because I was like, wow, we're just getting to the Island of the Dead.
Yeah, I was like,
Island of the Dead. And,
oh, we're going to end
here. I was
here.
Like, there's like so much more to happen.
I was like, oh, I wonder how we're going to
wrap this season
then.
They're not going to get everything.
We're not going to get any cool battle here, you know? No cool battle happens, you know?
Yeah.
The King Arthur Bernard Cornwell show, you know? So I
surprising.
I was super disappointed with that. That the show just end. Again, cool, we went to the Isle of Dead. It wasn't bad. I feel like maybe we could
I was okay with
another
it being
episode
like caves.
Or two out of this, you know?
Yeah.
If we cut it like an episode or two out of like some filler episode and we just like some of the setup with Guinevere drama and the setup from episode 9, and we just bumped Isle of the Dead to 9 and we brought in a battle for 10, I think that would have left a better taste in my mouth for the show.
What did you picture when you were reading the Isle of the Dead the first time? I pictured like rock huts with like smoke and very dark.
Misty.
Even though like it's not misty, and even though
like
that's probably
Harry Potter
in real life not what it would look
vibes.
Like. Yeah, yeah. But like in reality they would have had a lot of sun at the same time. Like it's, you know, it was outside,
sometimes.
Right?
Yeah.
It'd be daylight sometimes. But I didn't picture it like that. I pictured it as a place that's like always dark, and I think that's why the caves work well to me as a look. It's like, oh, let's put all the crazy people down in this old cave system, you know?
Yeah, they said it was abandoned mines. It wasn't just
abandoned mines.
Like
yeah.
A free island, like peninsula, like it was in the book. But
yeah,
the thing is, though, like, doesn't it rain all the fucking time in England, though? Like, we lucked out our week there. But, like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you could also just be like, well, it's gray, scary winter and still make it look thematic like that, you know?
Yeah. But again, I was okay with it being in the caves. It's different, but it's okay. I mean, you're still living in these like sort of kind of similar to what I pictured. It's dark, it's creepy. Something could jump out of you at any corner, kind of vibe. So I think it worked. But different again. And if I was a crazy cannibal, I would probably just camp out by that hole. And like as soon as like you hit the ground, I'm on you. I'm bouncing. Like it's just, you know what I mean?
Yes. You know what? Too, one of the things that doesn't happen on the Isle of that I love.
Oh yeah.
It's like,
oh yeah.
Like, Durfel has so many interactions on the Isle, and it fleshes it out. It makes it cool. He has some that are like who are just afraid of him, kind of normalish, and then he has some that like want to attack him, and then eventually he comes.
Well, there's the one that deceives him, which is an amazing part.
Yeah, I love this part. He comes across a guy, and they have like a normal conversation, and it just seems like this guy's normally telling about the Isle and where she might be and how the Isle's like set up and stuff like that, and then near the end though. Like he kind of distracts Durfel and just tries to eat the guy. Like he goes from like a plate. He
tries to eat Durfel.
Like how I picture it is like they're having like tea, like a plate Englishman.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed, Durfel. Yes. And of course, yeah, like well-educated sounding guy. And then all of a sudden, like he just tries to attack Durfel and he just luckily catches him. And then he's just saying like crazy shit. So I'm like, I'm going to eat you. And just like, and like, I'm just like,
oh,
holy shit. Like
I know that was my reaction when I read it for the first time. I was like, oh man, I was like, I even like it, it does so much to, as a reader, like where like when you first meet the guy, like I don't trust him, but like Bernard Cornwell sort of gets you into this sense, this like false sense of security with this character, because he's like acting really sort of civilized, right? He's very nice, seems like he's trying to help Derville, right? And then just in an instant he's an animal, just really cool. But doesn't happen in the show.
I wish they don't get that.
I was waiting for that, that would have been cool to see happens too.
Like at least when I've worked in like the hospital, like you might be with someone who's who does have mental ill issues, and like you're just talking to them and like they tell you all these things like, oh, they're homeless, they're this or that, and I'm like in their interview and I'm like, they seem normal, and we're talking, and all of a sudden they just like get up and like give you this weird hand gesture, they might try and throw shit at you, and you're just like, holy shit, like where is this coming from, you know? Like, so it was, I don't know, I just really like that part. I wish they would have had that in there. And like you said too, like how you pictured it, like I wish it would have looked a little more like that. I wish they would have added a few of those things. I still like that the Isle exists in this world and that they did it, you know. I still like that. But Durfle does find Nimue, and she's kind of crazy now because
she should be.
But we do.
We're gonna say she's been there months. It doesn't feel like that in the book. It kind of feels like Derville got back in like 2 days from Powys and like sees Arthur and like then immediately figures out what's going on and immediately goes. So it like feels like it's just been like a week.
That's what, to me, at most, it feels like a week, you know, like,
you know,
it wouldn't go crazy.
But it's got to be longer.
And that's what in the book, this thing happened like. Some of this stuff was starting to happen, I think, when before Derville left Dumnonia, and then he goes on like a long campaign defending this this castle, one of their allies from, I think, the Franks, right? I think it was the French, the French of the time, and then Arthur doesn't come, and it's a whole thing. There's whole this Galahad and Lancelot and stuff is there, like. I wish that would have been in this season. And that's how you could have ended this season, is that battle and then revealing Merlin in this episode. So you could have showed Merlin like two episodes beginning of the season and then just dropped that reveal at the end of. So there you go. You got a big fucking twist. You get a battle. You get all this crazy shit happening in the episode,
which is
going to drive you to want to see the next season of the show. You know?
Totally. I think if the Warlord Chronicles were a bigger series that like most people have already read and then they were making a show about it and like people would be expecting Merlin, then that would be an amazing way to do it, where like people know Merlin's going to come in at some point, you know, you don't have to show him in the beginning because they know that at some point, but the books are not that big. I mean, they're big enough, but they're not to the point where like most people have read it. Right.
Oh yeah. Unfortunately. Popularity. Yeah. No.
Popularity wise. So you have to gear the show toward people who haven't read the books. You just, you have to, I think. And so that's why, you know, you had to introduce Merlin earlier. Now I still think they could have done something at the end where you reintroduce him again.
I still think that you could have had like two or three episodes with them and then had him drop off.
Now they do show him this episode going and finding the horn, one of the 13 treasures.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which I don't think they really explain.
Not a lot to someone who doesn't know.
Yeah.
The books. In the books, they explain the significance of these treasures and what it's supposed to do when you collect them all.
That he's been gone for years and people search, want him back. And then he comes back in the craziest, weirdest way. You know,
right?
Which once you know who Merlin is, it's definitely like
Merlin-like.
Merlin would do, but you're just like, what is this? It was awesome. And it was during a chaotic battle and everything going on. So like that is how you could have ended the season and made people want to see the show and then start off the first episode of that new season, Isle of the Dead. Go full out, crazy shit's going down. You know, gotta find Nimue. But anyway, though, in the show now, we're talking. They're at the aisle. Crazy stuff's going on. Eventually, Arthur comes to save them. Before all that, though, Arthur buys time for Demnonia with the Saxons by giving them money. He goes and speaks with the Saxon king, Ael, played by Craig Parkinson. And he offers the tin, and because he wants to focus on Gorfefid first, and he's like, here's some tin, let's buy some time. And this, and they're like, well, I want to keep Radai. And because they had recently conquered that, and that was British land. And like, I want to keep that, though, even though you're saying let's not attack anymore and invade anymore. And Guinevere's like, hey, I know about the island, or yeah, that fortress rather, and its defenses. So like, let's let him have it, and then we'll take it back eventually.
Right. Right.
So Arthur's like, okay.
See, that's where like Guinevere here actually has like, she's really smart.
Yeah, like, she's super useful. So like,
she's like useful. So it's different, you know. Like,
maybe it'll make, when things happen later in the book, make it more hurtful then, you know. Instead of like in the book, you're just kind of like, of course that bitch did that, you know. But then she becomes, in the books though, after that happens, she becomes more of a real person. She becomes more, dynamic and real. But anywho though,
It's hard for me to see. It's hard for me to see now how she gets to that point in the books.
Yeah,
the way she is now.
Me too. Same.
So it'll be interesting. Again, they might. Maybe they'll totally deviate if they make more, because they've deviated a lot in this one. So who knows? Who knows? But anyway, so yeah, Derval, where are we? We're talking. Well, no. Arthur. Arthur meets with Ael, who I liked, the guy who played King Ael. I thought he was decent.
Wish he was a little bigger. He didn't look like very physical. Mm-hmm. I was picturing in the books like more of like a, maybe even a little more jacked Runetemte kind of guy.
I think I pictured more of like a Scorpa type looking guy.
Oh, yeah.
I pictured like Scorpa, like, I don't know, like sort of that rough, like kind of vibe. I don't know.
But I did like that.
But but still kind of same thing. Very scary. Very
nostril. And he was just kind of like, I like that they make him seem like he's like a real dude. He's like, I just want land. I just want this and that. So if you pay me money, all right, I like money. I'll wait, and then once I'm running out of money, I'm going to come back and take your lands, though. And we're like, okay, you know. And they say, I think 12 moons, you know, I think so that means like 12 full moon cycles, maybe? Or does that mean 12 days? Because 12 days is not very long at all. You know?
No. It's like 12 months. 12 months.
Okay.
12
months. So, but yeah, so that happens. And then Arthur's like, I got to go save my boy Derful from the Isle of the Dead.
Because I've been an asshat for an episode.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it felt like Arthur was in like a funk for like a week, where in the books it's like at least months and months of
years.
Him
I think it's
neglecting
years.
The kingdom. Couldn't even be years. Yeah. So anyway, back into the Isle of the Dead, like Derval reconnects with, finally like sort of snaps Nimue out of her crazed state with a scar. Right. And then he tries to find the way out. You know, we're going through these caves. Well, I don't remember when they start getting attacked.
They get to like a wall, and that's when they're like, all right, let's get our way out from here. And they try and break through the wall. And then, of course, just a bunch of zombies, you know, they come for them.
Basically, yeah.
And cannibal people, I think. Which I think Derful wasn't even like using a sword or anything here. I'm just kind of like, there's not really anything you could do if there's like 20.
A ton of them.
20 dudes pulling on you. Again, they're weak. Maybe they're not eating enough people, you know? It might be, maybe it's easier to fight, but like still, that'd be pretty rough. But so like, it's taking forever for them to do it. And then Arthur also happens to show up on the other side of the wall.
Imagine what Derval looks like to those people, though. Oh, man, he must look like the best, like you know those commercials of, like, cheeseburgers with, like, where they make it in pizza and they make it look so good? That's probably what Derval looks like to them at that moment.
I want one of those now, one of those Derfels. I mean, like, cheeseburgers.
Right.
Oh, yeah, so the cannibals, the wall, and Arthur's on the other side, and he just starts having flashbacks to all of his times his sword has just kicked ass, and he's like, why don't I just use my kick-ass sword on this wall? So he just, like, just stabs it once, and the whole wall comes down, and I don't know, like, let's be honest, it was a wall, it was only, like, a one-layer wall with rocks. I don't know what they used on the mortar. Derful had taken out a few rocks. Sagramore had taken out a few rocks. So maybe they made it a little unstable, you know?
Just give me some Kool-Aid. I'm breaking through that crap, man.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I could break through that wall.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, at least the hammer would do it. You know, like, if you had, like, a big sledgehammer, I feel like you'd easily get through that wall, you know?
I was kind of like, when he stabbed the wall, I was kind of like,
"Yeah, and that's what
I don't
know
about all this.
Are they trying to make it magical, or are they just trying to show that he, like, believes in himself, and the sword is also just a well-made sword? You know, I'm not sure, but you know, I mean, it's. I didn't hate it when it happened." But I'm just like, I started looking at the time around this time, and I was like, oh, this is the climax to, like, the episode here. Like, this is the big moment. And
the season.
Yeah, of the season. I'm just like,
it's like the pinnacle.
Don't feel like this is a huge moment. I feel like this should just be like an episode, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, though, they get out then, and the zombies run from the sun because they're always in the tunnels. And so then they're all, Nimue and Derful are safe. And then Arthur apologizes to Nimue, and he realizes he needs her. He needs her for magic stuff, for the battles and things ahead. So he gets down on his knees and he begs her to return. You know, of course, you know, she's been through a lot, and a lot of times Arthur has let things like Gunglius live, and then let Christians move in on her land, and then throw her to the Isle of Dead. So she's, like, not a big Arthur fan, you know, so it makes sense. But she eventually, then, when she sees him on his knees, she agrees to come back then, and he gives her a little speech about trust, and you need to trust people, you know, even though, like, you probably shouldn't trust me because, like, I keep fucking you over, you know, but you should definitely trust me now. And but anyway, so she agrees, and she's gonna stick around. And I think that's really the end of Arthur and stuff there. And I'm just like the whole Gorfefin plot line was, like, set up this whole season and didn't happen, you know, and that is, like, the end of the first book. But I'm just like, we should have set up more of the Saxon stuff, I think, and then maybe had a Saxon battle ending. Or, like I said, I think we should have had Derful go off and defend that kingdom and met Galahad and all that stuff, and end with that battle and the fortress falling, and just thinking about
with the Battle of Lug Vale.
I think there's a lot of cool things we could have done for the ending, and I don't think that I don't think this is a bad episode. I just don't think it's a worthy ending to a.
I would agree. Season, yeah, though. Just
you know,
definitely.
It just feels like
I was more like in awe at the end of the episode where they kill, Bedwin, than this one.
Yeah,
I was more like, whoa, you know. So definitely underwhelming, you used the word earlier, for sure. Let's hypothetically say they made an amazing finale to this show, with all the other episodes being the same, but they finished the finale really strong, I think, and my score could have got bumped up to probably like a 7.5.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if it could have gone, it could have, you know what I mean?
If they had, like, this episode be episode 9, and then episode 10 be, like, something.
Or just have an episode 11, even. Like,
yeah, I don't know if we need that. But anyway, though, last episode be, like, a Battle of Effingdon kind of thing, where Arthur gets all the Britons together. To fight some Saxons or Gorfefit or whatever. And that's how you end it. You know, like, I definitely would have bumped that thing up to like a 7.5, 8, depending on how awesome maybe, the ending is.
Maybe.
You know? So maybe, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know if the money they had just went into cinematography and actors, you know? Like, the people they do have, I think the main guy in this, the guy who plays Arthur, I think he was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show, which was a network TV show that did, I think, fairly well. It tied into the MCU. So I think maybe it cost him a bit of money to get him and everyone,
maybe.
And just shooting on location and stuff. I don't know. Like, that's what they should have used that money for. Is just you need
some
at least one battle. Like, all we had in this show is like duels. We haven't had any battles, you know? And like, for a historical epic with warriors in it, you need one battle. You need one battle, man. You know?
Like, yeah, because I'm thinking that first season of The Last Kingdom, and maybe they had a bigger, way bigger budget than this show had. It's possible.
They were on BBC for the first two seasons, so maybe
they were on BBC. So maybe they had a lot bigger budget than that they do now, but you know, they had two huge battles, you know, two really big battles, and they had other battles in the show in the first season, but like, they had two huge ones, you know.
They had lots in the first season, and again, I still don't think
they had a lot of extras, though.
I still don't think they had as much money as like a Game of Thrones or anything like that. But
true.
I still think you could have got this done. I mean, just put like an ad for like background actors wanted, and just throw a bunch of leftover. You know, I don't know what that was, but I think that should have been prioritized. I think when you were writing out this season, should be like, we can't make this show if we can't get this done. You know,
when was it filmed? Were they limited by COVID at all? When it was filmed. I know we're starting to get out of that a little bit. You know, I wonder, too, if that limited their ability to get extras. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I can't remember when we put out the announcement post. I'm thinking
it's probably a little after COVID at this point.
Yeah,
getting I think farther away from
at
that.
At least
shutdown.
On the tail end of COVID stuff.
Mm-hmm. Lockdown restrictions. But who knows? Maybe they did still have limitations. This is all conjecture. This is all speculation.
I don't think that was it.
I don't know.
But it seems to me like
they, when they were doing their storyboarding, their planning, they were just like, we're not going to do the battle.
Which they should.
They were just like, you know what I mean? We're not going to do it. They're just like, you know.
Yeah.
And, so.
But also, too, we saw, like you said earlier, Merlin. He was going to like some ice caves, which is a shot they had in the trailer. And he's looking for the Horn of Bran, which I can't remember if he mentions or not, but that's what he's looking for. And it's supposed to give you an endless supply of whatever they desire, such as like wine. But then when he gets it, it pours out, it overflows with blood, which is pretty magic-y, and the blood forms into the shape of Britain, which, like, what? And again, none of the treasures in the books ever did anything magical. Things that seemed pretty miraculous happened when treasure stuff was going on, but again, you could always explain to, like, maybe that person just got better because they finally beat their fever, and that's how they stood up, and it wasn't because of the cauldron doing anything, you know. And so, like, here I'm just like, what the heck, like, what are they doing? You know, take all that money you spent on CG blood and put it into some battle.
But again,
you know?
then you just put yourself in the shoes of someone who hasn't watched it and be like, what is he doing? Like, you'd be like, what's the point of this thing that he's got? Like, it's a bit odd. It's a bit odd. So anyway,
also too,
that was
Samson gives a Bible to Morgan, maybe foreshadowing her going to Christianity stuff, and you know, Samson from the books becomes more and more of a dick as it goes.
Yep.
And there's the story is also told with some present day stuff also being narrated. So Durfel is looking back on his life, explaining these events. And then also in real life, I might as well say it, we're in spoiler stuff. He is like in a Christian monastery. He's a monk now or something like that. And Samson is in charge of him. He's like the head of this place. And Samson's a dick. And one of the things too is Samson is illiterate. So that's why Durfel can write down all of his Arthur story stuff, and he can tell Samson, oh, this is the Bible. I'm writing some scripture stuff down. And he has no freaking idea. So him handing the Bible, I don't know. He's not supposed to be able to read, you know. But anyway though, I do like that they have Samson in the show and that they're doing something with him, you know. Yep. I know I complained a lot, but it's only because I care. And there are a lot of things that are like kernels of some good stuff in this show. But like, you need a battle.
Still has potential.
Yeah.
Still has potential.
You need some battles. Clean up the action in general, you know. You know, get those guys, the actors, in like some sort of good fight training for like a month or two, you know. And with swords. You know, and you know, when the show is the best, at least for me, is when it's doing things from the book. I don't know if there's anyone who hasn't read the books and you loved when Merlin was using Jedi mind trick on people. And if you did, I'm not trying to make you feel bad or anything, but like, that probably wasn't your favorite moment. Probably some of your favorite moments was like the duel.
I don't think it was that good.
He had with Egwene. Probably when Durfel, the moments between Durfel and Nimue, which are all from the book, things like that. I'd say one of the things, again, I'll concede, one of the things I really loved this season that was not in the books, that was from the show, was Durfel, his death pit being tied to Gunlius being the guy who did it and took his mom, and that Arthur was who saved him from the death pit.
But I think in the book, it wasn't Gunlius who did it, though.
No. That's what I'm saying. In the books, that wasn't. It was like some... That was
it was
druid,
one of Gunlius's men.
I think so. It was his druids. So, like, that... The whole druids. Death pit act was, like, a druid thing to do. That was, like... So, like, what Merlin is, they would set those death pits... I mean, that was, like, a sacrifice to, like...
Yeah,
make people win.
I understand them having to like consolidate characters for budget. I get that happens and stuff. They sometimes combine characters and
I like, you know, that the show has Gunglius being the one to do it. I like that more is what
I
I'm
like
saying.
That too. I like that,
like it
too.
More.
No, exactly.
So I'm saying there are some good things that the show does, you know, but I think most of them, the moments that are good are from the book. Like when Arthur first shows up, that's a book moment. It's even better in the book, you know, but it was still good. They have the right ideas a lot of times. It's just sometimes the execution and just some key things missing, you know. But I've ranted on that stuff. I do want a season two. I want a season two. I just want them to clean it up some. But let's talk episode 10. Best moment, best bro moment. Best bro moment for me is Arthur coming for Durfel, you know? Coming in there, he seemed all worried and concerned. I like that. I was like, I felt like he didn't care about Durfel in the last one. I like seeing him care, you know, about his guy. And that's what I want, more bro moments going forward here too. Even though I don't think it is kind of a part in the books as far as between Arthur and Durfel and Galahad and Durfel and
I think early in the season, it seemed like they were going to do more bro moments too. Yeah. And I feel like they got away from that a little bit. Even with like Arthur's men, it seemed like it was going to be a lot more bro moments.
Yeah.
But they got away from that for sure. I would say my bro moment is just Dervahl finding Nimue, looking for her, risking his life, and professing his love for her there, and ultimately saving her, you know, because he had to risk his life to do it, you know. So I would go with that.
And I'd say my best moment from the show is the Isle of the Dead stuff. Again, book to me really beats this out. But it was still, I'm glad that they did it. And that they still had the right idea. Even though they didn't have that whole scene with the cannibal guy, they still showed some cannibals, which Dervahl did run into some crazy people. I can't remember if they were all cannibals, but he ran into some people. So they had like the right idea. Some really unstable people there. There were some more stable people there. I like that they showed.
There were. They went in and they saved them, right? Like they went back.
Yeah, Arthur then he's like, I can't believe my father did this. And he's like freeing people. And I'm just like, wait a minute, dude. Like, you knew exactly what this fucking island was when you put Nimue on it. Why are you acting all like, that's like true. What did my father do? My father did this. I'm not my father. Like, you fucking threw Nimue in there and you knew exactly what it was. Yeah, that's why you didn't want to tell Dervahl. You know?
That's a good point.
And I'm just like, yeah, I wish they didn't do that moment where he's just like, I can't believe my father did this. And he went and he's like, he saw the guards like, you just keep them locked up. I was like, you fucking put Nimue there. You knew exactly what this place was. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So that was, if we're talking with stupid moments for the show, that was one stupid thing I was thinking while watching it, you know?
Yeah.
But fair most enough. Of the time, it feels like a smart show, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's pretty much it, you know?
That is it.
Do
you want a season two? I don't think you've ever said.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I want one just because of what they could do with it. You know, it's they're not likely to do everything we want them to do again. Even because I think, honestly, the books get more and more sort of budget unfriendly. So the chances of them, if they didn't do it this season, they're probably, unless they like get 3 times the budget, not going to be able to do it next season to live up to the books. So we were going to have to change our mindset a little bit. Like, and if we're going to enjoy future seasons better, I'm okay with change. I am okay with them changing it.
I think you can do a lot of this stuff with lower budget.
I just don't think it's possible though to if they didn't do it this season, it's unlikely. And they're already behind because they left out some key plot stuff this season.
Maybe they were thinking, let's save some of the more expensive stuff for another season. And like, let's hope we do well. And, you know, MGM is a big studio, you know, like Rocky, you know, like how many times when you watch a movie, you see the lion roar, you know, at the beginning, like that's MGM, baby, you know. So they've got to have some money. I'd say, think of this as your cash cow, MGM. Pour some money into season two.
Let's go.
You know, if you're going to commit to
it. I don't know if they got enough viewership, to be honest. It's not talked about that much. You know, and it's unfortunately, it's a results-type business, you know. If you don't have a lot of viewership, like, why are they going to bother putting more money into it? I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not super hopeful.
Well, another thing that could happen. Is like, I'm a fan of the show Cobra Kai. And it was on YouTube at one point, tried to do like a premium subscription streaming service thing. They still have a YouTube premium, but they got rid of the whole streaming service end of it where they had shows and stuff like that. And Cobra Kai was initially on that YouTube premium or YouTube Plus or whatever the fuck it was. And when that failed, the Cobra Kai show got picked up by Netflix and it's continuing on there and it's still having big success. Maybe this show could, let's just say it gets dropped by MGM Plus, but it gets picked up by Paramount Plus or Netflix or or whoever. And then they like, hey, there's something here. Let's put some work in this thing, you know. Other than like you really making this show cool and making people want to get on MGM Plus, because there's not a lot on there, you know, like,
yeah,
you need something though to draw people to it and get to it. Or it's going to have to be on a streaming service that everyone already has, and then they'll watch it, you know. But either way, yeah, something's gonna happen, but
absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if one will.
Yeah, so.
But you know, we'll another reason we'll I want a season two is because, and I want, and again, they have the kernels there. If this show was just dog crap and they did not give a shit at all about the source material, I'd be like, fuck them, let them die. But they have enough there that I'm like, I love these books so much. Like, you and I have talked about this so many times. Like, I wish this one would get adapted. Like, I don't think another adaptation will happen while I'm alive if this one doesn't happen, you know?
So right.
That's also selfishly why I hope this gets done, so that I can see it while I'm alive, you know? So, because I love this story so much. And, yeah.
Me too. So we just have to hope.
Hashtag me too.
Anyway. Yep. Well, yeah, otherwise, I think that's it for the Winter King for now. We'll be on to something else soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, Outlander will come back.
Thanks for tuning in. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll talk some other stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some new stuff we gotta get into. But otherwise, thank you for tuning in. Let us know your thoughts on the season. And yeah, other than that.
It's like we always say.
Bye.
Bye.